Father God, we thank you for another wonderful day, and not just any day, but the day that our Lord and Savior, in all power, in the power of the triune God, got up, defeated death and sin and Satan and every demonic power that there is, to show that to follow him, to believe in him, to obey him is worthy. And he is the way and the truth and the life. Lord, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, the second member of the Trinity, who came down off the throne to put on flesh, to live amongst us, to show us the way, then to take our sins for all humanity, for all time, past, present, and future, and to face the punishment for that, so that we wouldn't have to. Father, we thank you for your perfect love, your amazing grace, and just your overall perfect plan for those who would dare to put their faith in you. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so today, this is going to be, stick with me. It's going to be an unusual, probably, Easter Sunday sermon. But you guys are probably used to expecting the unusual with me. I know that this is the day we celebrate, and rightly we should celebrate our belief. But what I often see in the world and what I see in many churches is I'm not sure people really understand what it means to believe, at least the way God has said we are to believe. And so we're going to look at what does it mean to actually believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in the Christ of the Bible, to believe in the triune God that God has so graciously revealed in the scriptures. So it's, do you believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible? And the subpoint is understanding faith from God's point of view. So today we're going to look at four passages. First one, key one, is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. And then we're going to look at what Jesus was saying on this topic in Matthew chapter 7 in two different passages, 13 through 14, 21 through 23, and then in chapter 16 of Matthew, 24 through 27. So let's get into the text. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 7. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. He became eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And so this is what we need to think about. Oftentimes, this is an image of what happened to our Lord and Savior, so that he could purchase our freedom, so that he could free us from the power of sin in our families and in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. And it came at the highest price. It wasn't God punishing a human being. It was God coming down off the throne, putting on flesh, teaching us his ways directly from his mouth, teaching us how he thinks, what he would do. And then he took all of our sin. The only one who could do so, because he was perfect, perfect, without sin, the innocent. God in his perfection took our sins and paid the price for us. See, this isn't a cheap love. This was love at the highest price. It's not just a matter of you know, I often look at things nowadays and, you know, I don't know about you, but I get a bunch of scam junk mail at my home. And every time I look around, it's promising me a better something than what I already have. You can have a better rate on your home loan or your car loan. You can get 75% off all the furniture that you want. Deal after deal after deal. But if you've ever actually engaged in any of these, you find out very quickly that they're mostly a scam. It's a bait and switch. And so what I see going on in Christianity is a bait and switch on who Jesus is. This is what this is popular in the end of the 90s, Buddy Jesus. Hey, Jesus is your buddy. Oh, you're living in sin? Jesus got you. It's cool, bro. I died for you. You want to do that? No big deal. Our Lord and Savior ain't your buddy Jesus. As I said, this is what some people have reduced him to, but this is who he is. And this is something that we must take serious. It's not a matter, there's no secret password to get you into heaven that if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, it's a done deal. Jesus, see, I'm teaching in our discerning the voice of God study. Everything's based on context. Context determines meaning. So you need to understand why he says what he says when he says it. And what the entire Bible has to say on this topic, not just one or two or three verses pulled out of context. So this is our scam alert. Which Jesus do you believe in? And there's many more Jesuses that are false that are not buddy Jesus. But they're the Jesuses that deny the word of God. The Jesuses that say that no longer applies. Or it's not so big about you obeying. Or you really don't have to believe that. Those are all scams. They're all counterfeits. So we want to look at what does Jesus have to say on this topic of believing in him. Okay? So this is Romans chapter 10, one of my most favorite verses of all scripture. But you're going to see where we're going to go with this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the free gift of God that was paid at the highest price. It's free to you, but it wasn't free. Right? Free to you, but that doesn't mean it was free. And so, my background was a children's minister, youth minister. A lot of times I see a cheapening of the gospel where based on good intentions, we develop bad theology. We develop false beliefs about God. And for those of you that don't know, I get to teach for the seminary in Spanish with many local leaders, pastors, things of that nature. And I often stumble across well-meaning individuals who want people to be saved. They're showing that heart that God has to save the entire world. And what they end up teaching people is just to say this Romans chapter 10, 8 through 11. And that somehow they're saved by that. But what I'm saying is, while that is 100% true, it is not the whole picture. Because what does it mean to accept God in all your heart? To believe in your heart, what does that mean? To believe in your heart means whatever you hold in your heart will dictate your actions. I cannot tell my wife, I love you with all my heart, only to be turning around cheating on her. Only to be abusing her. Whether it be emotional, psychological, physical, sexual, whatever. It doesn't work that way. What you hold in your heart will be manifested in your actions. And so this is where Jesus was going, and this is where Jesus, I'm going to give you three passages where he directly talks to us about entering into the kingdom of heaven, spending eternity with God. And there's, you know, our people here know that I always have principles for you every week. No principles this week. This is all on what's God telling you. I don't need to get in the way of that. I don't need to explain because this will be crystal clear. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you about the cheapening of the gospel. The cheapening of the gospel and the counterfeit images of Christ that we get is everything goes. You don't really have to listen to the Bible. You don't have to really even read it or study it. It's about having God in your heart and then just do whatever. You're free. That's not Christianity. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while the wide road is always looks so beautiful and so promising and like paradise lost, it isn't. The narrow road, as you can see here, there's nothing majestic about it. It's hard. It's difficult. And at the end of the day, your journey is just you taking your cross, bearing a cross, dying to yourself to live for Christ because he purchased your life. That's the narrow road. That's what it means to believe. If you're not taking the narrow road, do you really believe? That's between all of us as individuals with God. But we need to understand belief is just not something that we vocalize. It's not some just idea that we have and we hold and then that's the end of it. The narrow road leads to Calvary, where you have to choose to die to yourself. That means you don't live your life for you anymore. As you heard my daughter Hannah saying, what held her back was knowing that she would have to do whatever God says. She wouldn't get to pick her career. She has plenty of ideas about her own career and what she would love to do and travel the world. But what does Jesus say? So let's go to the next passage. Same chapter, verse 21. Jesus again says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. See, this isn't Old Testament stuff. Old Testament is just as valid, let me tell you, but this is what people dismiss. Oh, that's Old Testament. This ain't Old Testament. This is directly out of the mouth of Jesus telling you. It don't matter that you do good stuff. It don't matter that you're a nice person, a great person, and you have all these things. That's what, you know, I hate to keep using my daughter, but these are the conversations we've had for a long time. That's what brought her to repentance with God, understanding that it didn't matter how much people told her she was a great kid. It didn't matter all the good works that she did. Was she really obeying God in every way possible that she could? That's what it gets down to. Not good works. You can't sacrifice. You can't give to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must obey. And I compare this to the wearing of a jersey, identifying with the team. Throughout the world, we have the problem where many Christians have the jersey. They even have a customized jersey with their name on it. But they're not in the game. They're a fan. They're not a follower. And Jesus isn't looking for fans. If you look at his ministry and what he did, more often than not, when he taught the hard truth, you know what people did? What did people do? They left. They walked away. And the church today gets caught up, oh, no, don't leave. Let me change something. We're going to make it custom fit for you. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It ain't enough to wear the jersey. It ain't enough to have the cross around your neck. It ain't enough to have the Jesus fish bumper on your car. Are you in the game? Have you put your flesh in the game? Because simply having the jersey ain't going to get you in. You may know, you know, I have a Warriors one because I love the Warriors. We all know who Kevin Durant is. We all know who Stephen Curry is, but they don't know who we are. Right? That's the good of the jersey, right? You think you're identifying with them. They don't know you. That's why the jersey with God ain't enough. You got to be in the game. You got to put in the blood, the sweat, and the tears of following Jesus, of taking up your cross daily to live for him and not for yourself. Next one, last one. Short sermon because it's straight to the point. Word of God couldn't be any clearer right now. Am I right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. See, once again, I even have friends and peers in ministry. Oh, you know, judgment. No. We got to get away from judgment. God doesn't get away from judgment. Jesus doesn't get away from judgment because it's fact. And we need to understand this. This can make us get angry. This can make us leave and say, who cares? But it's not meant for that. This is not me judging. This is the word of God telling us, be wise. Think about what's going on. Think about what you're doing with your life. Because all these things you're building will be gone. Everything that you've worked for, all this money you put away, all these relationships you've built, they're not everlasting. There's only one thing that's everlasting, and that is God. And there is a judgment for Christians too. Having the jersey and identifying as a Christian, you're still in the judgment. Now, the judgment is supposed to be to glory. To say, for God to give you honor in front of your peers and say, you well done, faithful and good servant. You have done well. You have obeyed. You have taken up the cross. Judgment is unavoidable. And the Christ, the real Christ of the Bible, is the one heading it all up. That's the thing. He himself says it time after time after time. He will judge the world. So as you think about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, I hope to God with every fiber of my being that every single one of you believes in the real Jesus Christ. And that even if you haven't been choosing to take up your cross, that you will starting today, because it's not too late. That's the whole thing about this message. It's not too late. The day will come when it's too late, but it's not too late yet. You have a decision to make. You have decisions to make. And so, do you really believe in the Christ of the Bible? That's another thing where I see people cheapening what God has revealed to us. Oh, those miracles, they're myths. If all those miracles are myths, then you have no reason to believe in the resurrection. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in Christ. I can guarantee you that. So we need to think. We had a Lord's Supper celebration on Friday. And this is where we got together and we ate the literal meal that Jesus ate with his disciples, did the same ceremony because it's the Passover feast. And I love to do it because of the celebration of what God has done. But there's a huge imagery in the Passover feast and God taking the Israelites out of Egypt that is comparable to today. And I shared with those of you that were there and those of you that were not, you'll hear it now. When God sent the death angel to wipe out the firstborns in Egypt as judgment, people identified themselves and their homes and their families as believers by taking the blood of the sacrificial lamb and by smearing it over the door and down the doorpost, right? If you had that on over your home, you were saved that night. You didn't experience the loss of the firstborn. Now, these people who did that had seen the 9 plagues that God did in Egypt leading up to that, the 10th plague. After the 10th plague, Pharaoh is sick and tired of them. He wants them gone. He kicks them out. Now they're free. But don't you know that the same generation of people who smeared the blood over the doors and on the doorposts were the same generation that never saw the promised land? They never saw the promised land because their faith did not continue. They did not continue to make the choice to live for God. They griped, they murmured, they gossiped, they complained, they worked against God and everything that he was doing. And they didn't see the promised land. And that should be a major image. I know that if you genuinely profess and your heart is all the way committed, yes, you are saved. But that's not license to go live your life however you want, whenever you want. I don't want anyone here to end up like the Israelites who put the blood on the doorpost and never saw the promised land. As I keep telling our church, salvation is not a decision you made in the past. Belief in Christ isn't some one-time event that you made in the past and that seals you for good. That's not the way it works. Biblically, there's no way you can show me that. It's faith. Faith dictates belief. Obedience dictates faith. There's no way around it. So we all have decisions to make. And I pray to God that every single person here will choose faith, will choose obedience, will choose surrender to the only one who can save us, the only one who can redeem us, and the only one worthy of our worship. Father God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for this day, this special day, Resurrection Sunday, where you got to show everything that you're made of and the legitimate power you have over reality itself. Lord, I pray for each of us here and for those who weren't able to make it today, that we would continue to place our faith in you daily. It's just like love. We cannot tell somebody we love them and walk away from them, never have contact with them, never treat them right, and say that we genuinely love them. Lord, help us understand your unconditional love. You gave it, and it cost the highest price, but you gave it as a free gift. You know not everyone's going to accept it, even though it's your heart desire that the whole world would be saved. Father, help make this church, help make every single individual here, regardless of their age, regardless of their sex, be a disciple that is going out to make more disciples in your name. As Matthew 28 says, as we make new disciples and we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are to teach them to obey everything that you have commanded. Lord, help us be obedient not out of fear, not out of shame, but obedient out of love. The same reason we do loving acts for those we genuinely love should be the same reason we're obedient. Because we genuinely love you, because you loved us first. So, Father, help us receive more and more of your love and help us walk the true walk of love. Help us to be children who you on the last day will tell us, well done, you good and faithful child of mine. Father, continue to have your way with us. And if there's anything inside of us that is unworthy of you, pluck it out, Lord. Pluck it out so that we can glorify you and honor you in accordance with what you say and not what we say. Lord, I thank you for everybody here today. I thank you for every generation of believers who has been able to pass it on to the next. Lord, may we continue to do so, because as you well know, all it takes is one generation for all faith to cease. Let that not be our generation, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.